in Jeremiah 33. Let me give you a couple of announcements. Get this turned on. It's on. Okay, this is an exciting part about me being able to stand in tonight. I get to announce to the church, most of you probably already know, but maybe some of you don't, Michelle and Morgan are going to have a bambino, a baby. So we're excited about that. And Morgan already has sleepy eyes sometimes. We'll see what he looks like after he has a baby. And then, of course, this is Easter coming up, and so if you have some friends that you think might come, and you've been working on, it might just be possible they'd come this Easter, so invite them. Also, after services tonight, if you can help a little bit, we're going to put Noah's letter out. It's pretty well all put together. We just need to put some tape around it, put some addresses on, and put some stamps on. And then on May 10th, if the weather holds, May 10th is the cleanup day for the borough. And in times past, we've kind of combined with cleaning up around the church and cleaning up usually from Plaque Road Baptist Church down to Badger Road Baptist Church on Plaque Road. And I think that we're going to do that again if it's not snowing again or getting cold. But if it keeps like this, I think most of the snow should be gone by May 10th. And so keep that in mind. And then, of course, remember that the 1st of June is going to be a mission conference. And Pastor has positive feelings about that's going to be completed over there. And so we'll see if it is. I think if it's not, he'll probably be visiting big street construction every day. But remember mission conference. Brother Ron's going to be here and two other missionaries and maybe some other people also. Okay, Jeremiah 33:3 is one of the tremendous passages of the Bible. Just in one verse, it gives us tremendous information concerning prayer. And Jeremiah, speaking for the Lord, in verse 3 of chapter 33 says, "Call unto me," God speaking, "call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not." What you see in this verse is that prayer is a command from God. When God says, "Call unto me," it's very plainly is telling us that this is not a recommendation. I'm not suggesting that you think about prayer, but he says to call unto me. That seems pretty odd because we don't really have to have a command to go to sleep or a command to breathe or command to eat. Yet, just as those things are necessary for our physical man, prayer is equally necessary for our spiritual man. And we need to recognize that God has commanded us to call unto Him. Perhaps God commands us to pray because we find ourselves in situations like Jeremiah where possibly we don't think prayer is even beneficial. Jeremiah was weeping over his nation. They've been taken captive. It's been devastated. The temple's been torn down. It seemed like that the worst possible thing that could ever happen has happened. He's in prison for telling the truth. He's been shut up in a hole, starved. He's been laughed at. He's been mocked. Perhaps God understood that Jeremiah, like us, has the whisper of the old man and Satan saying, "Why should you pray? What good will it do?" Well, sometimes when we've not been what we need to be and we've live lives that are contrary to God's word. Satan often nudges up against us and says, how can you go and petition the king when you've been a traitor? And it is sometimes that sin is in our lives so much affects us that we don't even feel like we can pray or have the right to pray. But God says, call unto me. His command is for us to go to him. And really, those are the times when we need prayer the most and the greatest. It stands to reason if we're commanded to call unto God, but we do not call unto God, that we are not in God's will. He says, call unto me and I'll answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. One writer said, prayerlessness is not weakness, it's wickedness. Andrew Murray explained it best when he said, the greatest sin in the life of a Christian is prayerlessness. Remember what the songwriter wrote, oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. And so what a proposition, what an encouragement, what a wonderful thing here, this command from God. You see, you and I did not think up prayer, but God thought it up. It was in God's plan. Prayer is God's idea. God is interested in you and I. God commands us to pray. What an invitation. We do not have to pester God to get his attention, but God simply encourages us and says, call unto me. God is not saying that we must carry a cross and a burden for 5 miles and then he'll listen. God is not saying that we must crawl on our hands and knees as I saw the Mexican people doing in the Basilica of Mexico City, hoping that they'd have favor with God. God is not saying if we go without food for 7 days, then I'll give you an audience. But God says to us, call unto me. Cry out to me. There are many, many verses in the Bible that exhort us to call. The psalmist said, and call upon me in the day of trouble, and I'll deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify me. Psalm 62 says, trust in him at all times, ye people. Pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us, Selah. Psalms 145 says, the Lord is near to all who call upon him, to all who call him in truth. And so what a wonderful promise we have here. What a wonderful command. What a wonderful exhortation to call unto him. There are no stipulations. There are no prerequisites to this. But God's just saying that all people, no matter what the situation, whether it's a big or a small, or no matter whether you feel distant or close to God, he calls out and tells us, call unto me. Oh, that we would remember these words in the different situations of life. Do you need forgiven? Call unto me. Do you need revival? God says, call unto me. Is there a burden upon your heart that you just seem like it casts you down every day? He says, call unto me. The child of God can never question whether he has the right to pray. God tells us to call unto him. And the Bible says that we are to come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. And then secondly, I'd point out to you in this one little verse, not only does he say, call unto me, but wonderfully he says, and I will answer thee. The testimony of the Bible is that God hears and answers prayer. He says in James chapter 5, the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. We find in the Bible a wife very burdened, very sad, very confused, going to the temple, crying out very earnestly to the point that she looked like she was overcome and the high priest confused her with being drunk when she wasn't drunk at all. And Hannah prayed for a son. And God gave her a son. Elijah prayed that God would honor what he said in his word, that if people went away from him, he'd hold back the rain. And he prayed, and for 3.5 years, there was no rain in Israel. And Elijah prayed again, and the rain returned. On another occasion, Elijah prayed that God would consume the sacrifice that was drenched with water, challenging the prophets of Baal. Here's what King says. Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that Thou art the Lord God, and Thou hast turned their hearts back again. Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice and the wood and the stones and the dust, and licked up the water that was in the trench. And when all the people saw it, they fell on their faces and they said, The Lord, He is the God, the Lord, He is the God. Elijah prayed. Elisha, who followed Elijah, prayed, and God gave life back to a dead child. Samson prayed, and God gave him back his strength, and in his death he killed more Philistines than in his life. Paul and Silas prayed there in prison and sang praises to God, and not only was the prison doors open, but the jailer got saved. Jesus prayed a very brief prayer. Lazarus, come forth, and he brought him back from the dead. God still answers prayer today. Sometimes it's yes, sometimes it's no, sometimes it's wait. But God still answers prayer. It's God's nature to answer prayer. The character of God is the one that desires to answer prayer and desires to meet the needs of His people. Paul said, He that spared not his son, the greatest event of all history, the greatest sacrifice of all of history, he that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? If the Lord did not refuse to hear our call when we were guilty sinners, then how would we think that he would refuse to hear our call as his children? And then note, he says, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Call unto me, one, and I will answer thee, two, and three, show thee great and mighty things. The word great has to do with big things, abundant things, many things, precious things, vast things. Show us things which have no bounds. The word mighty, great and mighty, the word mighty things indicates things that require power and strength and force and ability and authority. And God promises both abundant things and precious things, but He also promises mighty, forceful, strength in answer to prayer. You see, God wants to manifest His strength in this world. And He wants to do that quite often through the answer of our prayer. The greatest book a person can glean from is the Bible. Well, let me read this again. E.M. Bounds said, The greatest person a person can know is Christ. The greatest knowledge a person can have is the will of God. The greatest book a person can glean from is the Bible. However, the great knowledge and knowing the will of God and gleaning from the Bible will never be known apart from prayer. One of the ways that the deep, dark, hidden truths and mysteries of God are through prayer. See, he says here, Call unto me and I'll answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. You see, it seems to me, I don't really have a grasp on all this, but it seems to me that God is saying, hey, I want to do more for you than what you're asking. I want to go beyond. I want to give you some things that you've not even considered. Call unto me, and I will answer thee, and I'll show you great things and mighty things and things that you knew not, things that you can't even understand, and particularly those things that we know not and God's going to reveal to in His Word. But it's even greater than that, I believe. James tells us, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavereth is like the wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. When Daniel was challenged to interpret the dream of Nebuchadnezzar, which the wise men could not, he called all of his brothers and the Lord together, and he said, you need to pray for me. And God gave to him the understanding of those things that others knew not. And so I'm simply reminding us tonight that we don't have to be fearful about praying. We don't have to question whether we should pray. God commands us. And we need not think that somehow God is so busy that He will not hear. Or somehow we are so discredited that God does not care. Or somehow we are, you know, the runt of the family of God and really a no account and really somewhat like Samuel's sons when he came down and not Jesse's sons, when Samuel came down and said, I'm going to anoint one of your sons to be king in Israel. And the old runt David was still out there tending sheep and didn't even get called home. But God still cares for all of us. And your prayer is just as great as Pastor Dimmerhoff's prayer. Your prayer is just as great as the greatest Christian that you admire. God wants you to call unto Him. There was a little boy trying to clean up his yard, and there was an old, rusty, heavy stove out there. And he was grunting and pushing and struggling and trying to tip it over and trying to get it moved. And finally, as his dad watched, he asked him if he could move the stove. And he said, no, Dad, I can't. And he said, Well, have you used all your strength? And the boy said, yes, sir. And his father said, no, you haven't used all your strength. You haven't used it yet. You haven't asked me to help. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. How many times have we lay awake at night, tossed and turned, went off to work with a burden heavy on our hearts? No peace. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what pain we bear. Discouraged, downtrodden. All because we did not take it to the Lord in prayer. God encourages us tonight to call unto Him. Noah and Sarai, I think with all my heart that they need to be here. We're not dictating to God. But God wants to manifest Himself strong in the day in which we live. God wants us to cast our care upon Him. We ought to expect when we pray for our pastor that he'll come back and just tell us that, you know, there was just overwhelming peace came into my life, and God helped us get through the funeral, and my mom's going to be okay, and God has His hand in these things, and God's going to take care of things. And we ought to pray for that, and we ought to expect it to happen. We can't pray people into heaven, but we ought to expect when we pray for lost people that God's going to work on them. Jackie mentioned Toby tonight. You know, We gotta pray. I pray, and I just counting on God to work on the other end. Becky and I prayed one Saturday night about his son and my son, and I believe God's working, calling to me, and God says, "I'll answer thee." And we don't always see the prayer, and God's not always on our time schedule. And you know me enough to know that if I prayed it 15 minutes ago, I expected it to be answered 14 minutes ago. But God has a way. And God wants us to listen and to call unto Him. And He'll answer us. And He'll show us some great and mighty things. A number of years ago, a skinhead-looking guy came to Black Road Baptist Church, wanted to debate evolution, wanted to question creation. When he got his answers, he figured he'd never be back because he didn't like them. We prayed for Noah. We prayed that Noah be saved. And who thought that Noah would not only be saved, but God called him to preach. And God put him on the mission field. And God used him to convert Arabs to the Lord. You see, God showed us some great things that we knew not. Years ago, when I first came here, after 1 year, we started a Bible Institute, believing that God would call men to preach. And you know what he did? He called men to preach. There's one thing that angers God, and there's one thing that stops God from answering prayer: when we refuse to live and ask by faith. God honors faith. And so, not only are the things before us concerns that we've already mentioned, and we're going to pray again here for this visa situation, but you wives, you just need to, when your husband's there rolling back and forth in the bed, and oh, what peace we often forfeit, just put the big foot right in his back and kick him out of the bed and say, "Get on your knees and start praying." You didn't hear that. I'm just simply saying, let's pray. Lay it out before God. Most of the stuff that we toss and turn about, we can't do anything about anyway. Let God work the miracle, all right? Okay, I'll be quiet. Jordan's laughing, but one of these days he'll be married and tossing and turning. All right, let's pray for Brother Noah and Saraya. We're going to ask Jordan to pray and Jackie to pray and Brother Gert to pray. Jordan, you want to go first?